Welcome to Fresh and Local, the podcast of the Minneapolis Farmers Market, the municipal market of the city of Minneapolis. We're brought to you by the Central Minnesota Vegetable Growers Association, the growers who run the market, and in part by Country Financial. I'm Susan Berkson. The Department of Agriculture is very interested in year-round farmers markets, and it would be nice to have greens year-round, but in a state like Minnesota, it can't happen naturally. It would be dependent on greenhouse growing. Gary Paul, you farm in Apple Valley, and you've been coming to the Minneapolis farmers market for many years. I know from your Twitter feed and from your Facebook page that you have greenhouses, so thanks for coming in to talk with me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Tell me about your greenhouses. How long have you had them, and why you built them?
Well, essentially, we started out using them for bedding plants and hanging baskets and that type of thing. We opened up our retail facility back in 82, and after numerous years of selling fruits and vegetables out of our market during the summer months, we expanded. You know, we had sweet corn, and that was our main crop, and pumpkins and that kind of thing. Then we added Christmas trees. We started retailing flowers out of a little garden mart at our farmstead. That happened for about 6 or 7 years. And a buddy of mine says, you got to start putting up permanent greenhouses to facilitate not only the growth that were occurring out there, but also to make sure that people know where your flowers are coming from. It's so important nowadays. People love Minnesota-grown vegetables. They love Minnesota-grown flowers. They like to know that their things are grown right where they can purchase them. Mm-hmm. And that's really fueled a lot of growth within the vegetable industry in the last 6 years, where the chain stores and the grocery stores have taken that initiative and want to be locally grown. And not only that, you've had the farmers markets expand out into smaller communities, you know, in the smaller markets. I think the people they want stuff that is produced locally within their community and, you know, within the confines of, say, a 20-mile radius where they know things are grown locally and put on the shelf, and within a day or two, they're consumed. So in 95, we put up our first greenhouse. Wasn't shortly after that, you know, we had all types of different flowers in there. And from begonias to petunias, we figured if we can raise things out in the field, we should be able to do it in the greenhouse. Well, the first year we had the hedge clippers out. We're cutting off petunias after about a month because the temperature difference, which you should be growing a begonia in versus a petunia, is, you know, probably about 6-7 degrees, which is a lot when to produce a decent plant. Wasn't shortly after that, the following year, we put up kind of like our main retail facility, and we had. And it would only work this 1 year because we used to get a lot of transplants in from Georgia. But that particular year, all our cabbage plants down in Georgia froze off. And we had about half this greenhouse finished off for the retail part of it for flowers. But the other second half, we had nothing growing in it, and it was still all dirt from the field from the previous year. So we brought in a little A-Farmall that my dad had. And it was their first tractor. It was a 1939 Crank A. And we tilled up the other end of the greenhouse, and we seeded our cabbage plants in there for field production. And that kind of jump-started us from not only raising flowers and bedding plants and that kind of thing, but we also started raising our own transplants for the field then, too.
How important are the greenhouses now to your business?
Well, oddly enough, you look back, you know, years ago, all the people in this town that are major flower players, your Bachmans, Gertens, us, all these people started out raising vegetables and being vegetable farmers. And years ago, they used to have, like, say, during the winter months, leaf lettuce and that type of thing to facilitate, you know, income going through the winter months. And then the flower market became so hot that they pretty much got away from growing vegetables in their greenhouse and went totally to annual flower production, be it flats and the 4-pack and that type of thing, the 6-packs back in the day, moved up to, like, say, 4.5-inch and hanging baskets. I think that has kind of reached a saturation point as far as greenhouse production.
But we're at peak greenhouse flower production.
Right. And now I think you're seeing some of these people go back into, you know, raising some vegetables out of the greenhouse that once was used for strictly flower production.
Well, what do you think the prognosis is for having year-round vegetable production in greenhouses. Is it feasible in Minnesota? What do you think?
Well, I think Bushel Boy does a wonderful job at doing it.
There you go.
You know, they started out small, and Jay, he's a very smart, intelligent man. You know, he had some nice backers, and he did his homework, and he had a grower from him that was from Holland that, you know, they used all Holland technology that from overseas, brought that to Minnesota, and have done just a terrific job producing their tomatoes and that kind of thing.
What does it take?
First thing it takes is a market.
Yeah.
You need to have a market, yeah. And you need to, your customers have to be willing to put your things on the shelf side by side with, you know, with the Canadian growers or the Mexican growers that are getting shipped in product and the Holland growers. And another thing is you have to be cost efficient. Costs in this area, being one of the colder parts in North America. You know, we don't get the Canadian production all takes place over towards in the Leamington, Ontario piece, you know, just east of Detroit. You know, it's a little bit milder there. They get a lot of snow, but the snow cover is not necessarily generates a lot of cold weather, and we get extreme cold temperatures. So if you have extreme cold temperatures, you need a good heat source, efficient one that allows you to compete. I mean, their heat costs over there are high too, but maybe not as quite as high as what we have. Lights, you need, when you start getting into this time of year, you're going to need growing lights. We've had plenty of lights in our place, and they tend to get stolen. Somebody will break, you know, cut a hole in your greenhouse and take the grow lights out for their own medicinal purposes is what we probably like to call it.
So it sounds so high cost. Would you have to raise prices on product?
Once you find your niche in a marketplace, they're willing to pay a little bit more, but not a lot more. You know, as consumers, we've become consumer savvy, and people generally, I think it's helped with the country of origin label the last 5 years, and it's becoming more and more stringent on how your produce is marked on the store shelf. People are willing to pay a little bit more for, like, say, the Bushel Boy tomato. But they weren't willing to pay enough maybe 3-4 years ago. Bushel Boy went through they tried these plug packs of, like, say, arugula and baby red lettuce, you know, different types of lettuce that they had packaged. And that didn't seem to fly because they had to charge too much to raise it. Now, as far as raising it in the greenhouse, it isn't generally a problem. It's the cost that you need to get it from seed to table, basically.
Can anything be grown in a greenhouse?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of, yeah.
Well, that's a happy thought.
Yeah.
What are you looking at for 2014?
Well, I think this past couple of years, we've started a lot of tomatoes in our greenhouse, and kind of after the flower production season is, we've started some kind of split seed them, and we started some tomatoes earlier, so we can capture our retail end, like say, middle of June, end of June, we're picking our own tomatoes. And this past year, we've extended that season, so we're picking tomatoes up to middle of November till the temperatures got pretty cold. That seemed to work out pretty good. And in this past year, we also started raising some green bell peppers and some yellow peppers and some habanero peppers that we did market to a couple of different local restaurants. You know, not only our place, but other restaurants right in our Apple Valley area. So I think that's something that we've expanded on in the last couple of years. And this year we're going to expand our pepper line to include some maybe serranos, poblanos, and habaneros. Some of the things that are, you know, a little bit more difficult. You don't need a lot of space for, you know, to capture a lot of habaneros, you know, 1,000 plants would produce enough habaneros for a lot of customers within the area.
It sounds like it's a little cart horse thing about what's going to come first, the product or the space to sell it in. And I'll be curious to watch. Do you hear other growers sort of talking about this or within the CMVGA? Is there any talk about doing this year round?
Personally, I think a lot of people get wore out by the end of, everybody needs their downtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they have the market, you know, for it, I think that's the most critical part. Mm-hmm. If they have customers that are willing to pay, will depend, you know, will be there for you when, you know, after you get your kinks wore out, and as far as timing issues and that kind of thing. So, because like some of our pepper production, we went right from the field this year to the greenhouse, only because it was a nice fall. So it allowed you to kind of just keep extending that. If your timing is off in the greenhouse and you have, like, say, a 2-week gap, they go to somebody else and then they don't come back. So I think it's kind of critical to wean in and get your timing down so you're able to carry on with the same consistent supply from start to finish with some of these customers.
Well, keep us posted, because I know lots of people would love to have it year-round. So, Gary Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
This has been Fresh and Local. We're brought to you by the Central Minnesota Vegetable Growers Association, the growers who run the Minneapolis Farmers Market, and in part by Country Financial. Thanks for listening.
Country Financial is proud to sponsor the Minneapolis Farmers Market. Getting an auto quote today plants the seeds for saving tomorrow. Call 866-COUNTRY or visit 866country.com to start saving.